The epistle to be read today for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of the goats and of oxen and of the ashes of a heifer, being sprinkled, sanctified such as are defiled, to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works, to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called many may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I speak not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glory myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus saith to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. By his own blood entered once into the Holy of Holies, having attained eternal redemption. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On March 25th, about 2,000 years ago, our Lord made that solemn promise to the good thief that he would immediately enter the kingdom of heaven. According to tradition, the good thief is Saint Dismas, who was crucified with our Lord. The Roman Martyrology, which is a catalog of the saints of each day, reads on March 25th. At Jerusalem, the commemoration of the good thief who confessed Christ on the cross and who deserved to hear from him these words, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." When our Lord was crucified, two thieves were placed on either side of him. They were among the most notorious robbers, and yet they were to partake in the most solemn and significant event in all of history. As they hung on their crosses, one of them, who was Saint Dismas, turned toward Jesus and confessed our Lord to be innocent. This converted sinner humbly acknowledged how evil he was and how he deserved to die on the cross. And then he asked our Lord for pardon. And he received it absolutely. And our Lord even promised him that he would that very day enter into paradise with him. Now it is strange to think two robbers were crucified with our Savior, and both received the inspiration to repent, and yet only one was converted. The other, in fact, cursed our Lord. This thief, even though he too was beside the merciful Jesus, was there in vain, for he would not look upon the cross. Despite the many inspirations he received, he would not admit his fault and guilt, and he would not repent of his crimes. He witnessed our Lord's heroic fortitude, perseverance, and charity. He was an eyewitness to the love of the Sacred Heart, who forgave the very ones putting him to death. And despite our Savior's frequent and loving promptings, the thief would not look upon the Sacred Cross. He was unwilling to do so, and so he did not obtain salvation. Because of his refusal, he obstinately died in his sin and was miserably lost. Certainly, neither thief had ever done any good, and the good thief had been one of the worst robbers. And still, at the end of his life, he looked at the cross and found redemption there, and thus he was saved. His salvation was immediate, for our Lord had promised that whoever looked upon the cross, no matter how sinful he might be, even if he did so only at the end of his life, as did the good thief, he would receive salvation. And so it was that St. Dismas found redemption and salvation by looking upon the Holy Cross. "Ah, Lord," the good thief said, "I know very well that you are not guilty, but I indeed deserve to be attached to the cross for my sins and crimes. For this reason, I beg you to remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, this day you shall be with me in paradise." Now, my dear faithful, in today's epistle, St. Paul tells us that our Lord obtained eternal redemption for us by his precious blood. And St. Paul points out that if the blood of the animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament took away the temporal punishment to sin, how much more does the blood of the divine Son do for us? For it is by the most precious blood that our Lord merited our redemption. And by means of his death upon the cross, we might receive salvation if we accept. Today, my dear faithful, we celebrate Passion Sunday. And so the Church wishes us to think about and meditate upon our Lord's passion and death. For the next 2 weeks, she especially wants to have before our eyes all that our Lord suffered for love of us. Next Sunday, we begin what the Church calls Holy Week, the most solemn week in the liturgical year. It is called Holy Week because during it, we celebrate the holiest mysteries of our religion. We commemorate that most sad day, yet great day, when Christ died for our sins and obtained our redemption on Good Friday. And during Holy Week, we relive the most glorious events of the history of mankind. And so today, the Church reminds us that we must prepare ourselves. And the Church helps us to do so in an outward way by having us cover all the statues and images with purple. She wants us to focus on Christ's passion and death alone. And so she covers everything else in purple veils. And so we should be focused on the thought of our redemption and all that our Lord suffered for love of us. And so we should often think about the many graces Christ obtained for us by his passion and death on the cross. The greatest source of grace and for our salvation comes from the cross. And all graces flows upon mankind from the cross. For you see, the redemption is of infinite value. And so it can never be exhausted, even after millions and millions of centuries. For even though Christ suffered nothing as God, yet his divinity is so united with his humanity that we can truly say God suffered death, and death on the cross, to redeem us and give us life, and thus obtain an infinite amount of grace. In fact, a single sigh and the smallest tear from the Sacred Heart was of infinite merit and most pleasing to God. And that is why, looking at the cross with Christ hanging on it, God the Father could refuse him nothing. Now, since this divine Lord asked pardon for us as he hung on the cross, it is entirely certain that his request was heard. His divine Father loved him too much to deny him any request. And therefore, if anyone does not receive pardon, it is not Christ's fault, but man's own fault. For although he died upon the cross and gained infinite merit, those who refuse to look upon him will surely be lost forever. For there is no other redemption save in the cross. If anyone is lost, it is because they are unwilling to gaze upon the crucified Christ. On the other hand, no one has ever looked upon our Lord crucified and remained dead in their sins. My dear faithful, we must imitate the good thief, St. Dismas, and look upon the cross, acknowledge our sinfulness, and we ought to seek refuge in the saving graces of the redemption and ask our Lord for forgiveness. We must not be like the bad thief who did not look upon the cross and thus was lost for all eternity. So let us be more mindful of all that the Sacred Heart suffered for us as we draw closer to Holy Week. Resolve then to make a good confession, especially if you have been away from the sacraments for a long time. There's no better time than now as we approach the Easter season. Take advantage of our Lord's passion and death and all the merits he won for you by his sufferings. And if not, you will be lost forever. For there is only salvation for those who look upon the cross and ask for forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. If our sins are to be wiped away, we must unite our repentance, our works, and our prayers with the satisfaction of Christ. It is also a good time to renew your resolutions that you made at the beginning of Lent. Be determined to be more generous in following the Lenten fasts and penances these next 2 weeks. And make an effort to be here at the chapel for some of the Holy Week ceremonies. Also try to avoid unnecessary entertainment by not going out these next few weeks and avoiding the TV and computer, the social networks, and the radio. Use the extra time you may have to read a good book or contemplate and think about our Lord's passion and death. You can even say an extra rosary and contemplate the sorrowful mysteries. And you can do this even when you're driving and going to work. And also, unite your daily duties and crosses with our Lord's. Remember, you are where God wants you to be. And so you can offer the little duties of everyday life to him, uniting them with our Lord's sufferings and death. Be like St. Dismas as he united his sufferings with Christ who was hanging on the cross beside him. He didn't ask our Lord to be taken off the cross. No, he admitted he deserved the punishment, but only asked that our Lord remember him in his kingdom. And so, my dear people, remain on your cross, the one that daily life presents to you, and unite them with your suffering Savior. As St. Francis de Sales says, "Do not desire, therefore, to descend from this cross under any pretext whatsoever. Since God has placed you there, remain there always. And cheerfully carry this cross beside your suffering Savior, and lovingly offer it to him in return for the immense love that he has shown for you. And thus, the cross of Christ will be your saving grace. As the church prays today in the beautiful hymn, Vexilla Regis, Hail cross, the only hope of man. Hail on this holy passion day. To the saints, increase the grace they have. From sinners, purge them from their guilt. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.